Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Also joined here today by Kevin Hickey from the Colts Wire USA Today. Be sure to join him and follow him, KevinHickey11 on Twitter. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_Pick. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the FinFanatic.com website, as well as the FanSided Network. The Dolphins do play the Indianapolis Colts this weekend in Miami. Dolphins are 1-2. Colts are 0-3. Really early in the season. Kind of looks like a must-win game for both teams here, Kevin. And, you know, I can say this and not be called a homer. The Colts have had three pretty tough games to start the year. They lost 28-16 to Seattle. They lost by 3 points to the Rams, and they lost by 9 points last week at Tennessee. So they've got Baltimore next week too on Monday Night Football. So kind of a big game here in week four against the Dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of look at every game in the NFL as a must win, right? Like the season's only 17 games, but 18 games now. Or 17, I don't know.
18 weeks, 17 games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, every game's a must win, but I mean, going 0-4, your season's shot. So, you know, they've had some tough competition, but we also thought that this team was going to be able to, you know, at least compete with these teams. You know, maybe the Seahawks might be a little better than the Colts were expecting, but, you know, the Rams, I think, are one of the best teams in the NFC. They probably, you know, coming into the season, we would have expected the Titans being a closer matchup, but the season's kind of just spiraled, you know, from injuries, from poor play from the offensive line, Carson Wentz, you know, dealing with two ankle sprains. So it's been a rough start. They haven't been 0-3 since 2011. Colts fans will love the name that was at quarterback then, which was Curtis Painter. So, you know, it's been rough. It hasn't been great. They played some good teams, but it's just, you know, it hasn't been the start that we were all expecting.
Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with their Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Ready for an out-of-this-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off not only in the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
Yeah, and injuries, like you said, play a big part of that. And heading into this weekend against the Dolphins, you know, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, so this is subject to change. But it's looking like Quentin Nelson, the Pro Bowl guard, arguably the best at his position. In fact, I don't even think arguably the best at his position in the NFL, isn't expected to play. And it sounds like Braden Smith isn't going to make it either, because like we were talking about before the show, you pointed out he has a practice in 3 weeks here.
Right.
What's, you know, they saw some of the Colts saw some of that last week in the loss to the Titans. What kind of impact did that have on the offense?
It's massive. I mean, it's huge. I mean, losing an all-pro like Quentin Nelson, obviously, that's never a great thing. They have a good backup. Chris Reed is a veteran. He's a solid backup, solid replacement, but losing Nelson, I mean, he's kind of the heart of your offensive line. You know, he's really the one that sets the tone every week. So, you know, it's unlikely he's going to play. I'd be very surprised if he even logged a practice at all. They haven't had Braden Smith since I think his suffered a foot strain or sprain during the week one opener against the Seahawks. So he hasn't practiced since then. That's big too, because, you know, then you got a guy like Julian Davenport coming in and being the right tackle, and he just hasn't been very good, which is, you know, it's hard to find solid backup tackles in the league. So every team's going through that. But when you got to replace an all-pro guard and one of the best, you know, up and coming right tackles in the league, it's just, it's never good for your offense.
Yeah. And we're familiar with Chris Reed and Julian Davenport. Chris Reed was here for a cup of coffee here a couple years ago. And, you know, he looked like he was a decent player. And for some reason, he just never got on the field. He was always in a backup role and then was eventually released a few games into the season. And Julian Davenport, who my understanding is will start at right tackle with Eric Fisher at left tackle, was part of the Laremy Tunsil trade. And we saw him firsthand. I'd argue that he was as good as Austin Jackson, but yeah, I mean, so it looks like it's going to be at the tackle spots, Fisher and Davenport, and then Reed, Kelly, and Mark Lewinsky on the inside.
Yeah, that's exactly how it'll be. They'll probably, they've done this for the past 2 weeks at right tackle. The Julian Davenport will start. He'll play the majority of snaps there, and then they'll rotate in Matt Pryor, who they traded for right around roster cuts. They traded like a seventh round pick for him from the Eagles. So he's not much better. He's probably a little better run blocker, which is probably something the Colts need to emphasize a little more going forward. But yeah, you'll see mostly Davenport for about 70-75% of the snaps, and then they'll rotate in Matt Pryor. But the rest of the offensive line, you got Fisher at left tackle, and then, like you said, Reed, Kelly, and Glowinski.
And Eric Fisher will be going up against what should be Jalen Phillips, and then at right tackle, whether it's Pryor, whether it's Davenport, should be going up against Emmanuel Ogba, who's looked really good here, especially in the pressure, you know, as far as pressures are concerned here in the first few weeks. But let's go back to the quarterback spot here. Carson Wentz, the Colts trade a second rounder and then a conditional first rounder if he plays 75% of his snaps this year with the Colts. On the year, 64 for 106, so a little over 60% completion rate, 692 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. What was your reaction this past offseason when Carson Wentz was acquired, and what has been the impression of him so far?
My initial reaction was, you know, I don't think really anybody was all that surprised. Philip Rivers retired. We kind of knew the Colts were going to be looking for, I mean, a lot of us were hoping that they were going to try to trade up in the draft, but trading up from 21 is never easy. And you knew you had to get into the, you know, top five just to get a decent chance. We, you know, I don't think anybody saw Justin Fields falling that far to 11, but or whatever it was, but you know, I wasn't really all that surprised. We knew he had the relationship with Frank Reich. We knew that Frank Reich is a big supporter of Carson Wentz. And, you know, when Reich was there in Philly during their 2 years, Wentz was pretty good. So, you know, the last couple of years haven't been all that kind to Wentz, but you know, the Colts did the deal anyway. And, you know, he's been fine. He's been fine to start the season. Maybe even a little boring, which is a little bit surprising. We kind of expected this guy to come in and be a gunslinger and, you know, really move the ball downfield. But, you know, he's been pretty conservative. And part of that is the offensive line. Part of that is, you know, he's under constant pressure all the time. And that's something we really didn't expect to see from the Colts, just because, you know, the reputation is kind of this mauling offensive line who pass protects really well. So,
yeah,
you know,
and on Wentz too, there, I mean, every quarterback benefits from good offensive lines,
right.
But I think Wentz is a lot more he needs it a lot more than other quarterbacks. He doesn't quite have the escapability, and his numbers, if you look, at least you look at PFF's numbers over the last few years, have really dropped off when he's under pressure compared to when he throws from the pocket.
And I mean, that's, like you said, it's pretty typical for, you know, most quarterbacks when they're under pressure, their numbers drop. But I'd actually argue that escapability is, you know, that's a huge part of his game, whether it's, you know, working towards a detriment or not. You know, he's always looking to extend the play. And that's kind of what got him in a little bit of trouble in Philly, is he's always trying to play hero ball. So I think with the Colts, they were trying to, you know, hey, let's not maybe evade the pocket when we don't have to. Let's go to our first read, see what we have, and then, you know, methodically move the offense. So he's been fine. Dealing with the injuries, it's tough. I mean, this last week against Tennessee, it's just so clear that he's not a pocket passer, right? Like, he's just not comfortable being the Phillip Rivers, taking the check down when he needs to, and really, really, you know, hanging out in the pocket. He really, once he senses pressure, he's out.
So, speaking of check downs, Jacoby Brissett is starting this week for the Dolphins. And I see some similarities between him and Wentz. Not, I mean, Brissett was never competing for a Super Bowl ever, but he did spend several years with the Colts. He was the guy taking over once Andrew Luck unexpectedly retired. And so how do you compare Jacoby Brissett to Carson Wentz? There's some similarities, but also some kind of differences too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's an interesting comparison. They're both, I think the biggest similarity between both of them is they're both big guys, right? They're hard to bring down. They're going to try to extend plays. Brissett's not the fleetest of foot. I think every Colts fan will show you that, tell you that. But, you know, they're big guys. They're going to want to try to extend plays. But like you kind of alluded to, Brissett's not really the guy to look downfield, right? Like, he's very conservative as a passer. He's not really going to be looking to air it out downfield. Wentz, I think, differs from that in that in the past we've seen that. We just haven't seen that a whole lot this year. So it'll be interesting. You know, this is, I think it's a little bit of an advantage for the Colts just because they know Jacoby Brissett more than anybody. So, you know, they've game planned for him. They've game planned around him, sometimes in spite of him. You know, it's going to be a little bit of an advantage for them. And it's interesting because Jacoby Brissett has a good arm. I mean, the dude's got an absolute cannon. So it's sometimes it's a little perplexing that he won't try to take that big shot downfield.
Absolutely. So you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head there, because last week, I'm not sure how much of the Dolphins Raiders game you caught there, but I mean, basically when the Dolphins got down 11, they started opening up, airing it out, and it looked pretty good. They were moving the ball. There were, you know, two deep passes that frankly should have been pass interference. It was pretty bang bang, and that opened up the rest of the field. And you're going to see some really frustrated Dolphins fans this week if they don't go back to the thing that worked last game. But then again, Jacoby Brissett's been in the league for a while, and he's always been like this. So that's, I don't have a lot of hope that they're going to come out slinging it again against the Colts.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That was kind of the frustrating part, because he was a starter in 2017 when Andrew Luck was trying to come back from shoulder surgery, then had that setback. So Brissett wound up being the starter for the whole year. That's a hard season to really evaluate him, just because the team was so bad. Like, every piece around him was brutal, except for T.Y. Hilton. But then in 2019, you know, they're coming off that playoff loss against the Chiefs. They're looking pretty good. The foundation of the roster's good. And then, you know, Brissett winds up having to be the starter because Luck retires. And now we're kind of like, okay, you know, maybe this is the season he really starts to air it out, really starts to use his arm, but he loves checking the ball down. He doesn't like to take a lot of shots. So I agree. You might be a little frustrated with how many open receivers you have downfield, and he won't pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing so far. Hopefully somebody gets in his ear this week that hasn't gotten his ear for the last 5 or 6 years. So we'll see. At running back for the Colts, Jonathan Taylor led I think he was third in the NFL last year in rushing yards.
Yep.
And I was going to say first in the AFC, but Derrick Henry obviously was. But last game, you know, it was a pretty close game with the Titans throughout. I mean, the Titans won by 2 scores, but Jonathan Taylor only 10 rushes for 64 yards in that game. Did that catch you by surprise? And should we see more of him this week?
A little bit, especially considering I mean, considering most of the things, you know, the whole mantra of the Colts is, you know, they want to run the ball. They really want to work through their offensive line and work through their backfield. And they have a pretty good backfield with Taylor and Nyheim Hines. But, you know, I figured they'd feature it a lot more than what they did. You know, you got Carson Wentz on two bum ankles. He can't move. You're going to have to try to take some of the pressure off of him, you know, by running the ball a little bit. And then, you know, he averaged, I think it was like 6.4 yards a carry against the Titans. Yeah. So they said, a lot of the guys said that, you know, they would call a run play, but then they had to check to a pass because of the looks that the defensive front was giving them. So, you know, I can't really blame them there. You don't really, if the defense is, you know, lining up to stop the run, you don't necessarily want to shove it down their throat, you know, get a 2 yard gain. But at the same time, it's supposed to be your bread and butter. You know, you're supposed to be, your offense is supposed to work through the run, or at least that's what they want to do. So to see Jonathan Taylor get 10 carries when he was averaging over 6 yards per carry it was definitely surprising. So I'm kind of hoping they go back to that a little bit, just because the offense does move a little smoother when they're moving the ball through the run. So
sure,
we'll see what happens. And, you know, it's a good matchup for them to do that.
You bet. And at wide receiver and tight end here, you know, obviously they'll be without T.Y. Hilton. Tight end Jack Doyle, iffy for this game. I will know a little bit more throughout the week here. Didn't practice yesterday. But Michael Pittman, 17 catches, 220 yards this year, second round pick last year, started to really come on at the end of last season too. But looking at the wide receiver and tight end unit as a whole, with Pittman, Zach Pascal, and maybe Jack Doyle, Mo Alley-Cox, what kind of personnel groupings should we see here? And what has kind of worked for the Colts so far in the first couple games?
Yeah, you'll see a lot of 11 personnel. You see a lot of three wide receiver sets. It'll be Pittman, Pascal, and probably Paris Campbell. T.Y. Hilton's still on the IR, had a neck thing. He had to get a procedure on his neck following the preseason. So he's eligible to return, but he's not playing this week. So you'll see a lot of 11 personnel with that group. And then they'll do some 12 personnel with Doyle and Mo Alley-Cox. But, you know, the passing offense the last 2 weeks, it's run through Michael Pittman. He's had 12 targets in each of the last two games. They haven't necessarily been all that, you know, efficient with those targets, but he's kind of separating himself a little bit. Doyle will see his hand, you know, he'll see some targets, but they're not going to be anything downfield. They'll be to the flat. There'll be little spot routes, little curl routes. Mo Alley-Cox is a guy. He's a big guy, but they scheme him maybe once or twice a game. So the guys that the Dolphins are probably going to focus the most on, Pittman Jr., Pascal in the red zone. He's the only player to catch touchdown passes from Carson Wentz this year. He has all three touchdown receptions. So that's a guy you're going to have to look out for. And then Nyheim Hines, they basically, you know, he's a running back, but they use him in the slot. They use him out of the backfield. So he's going to be a guy that the Dolphins are definitely going to have the game plan for.
And Mo Alley-Cox's interesting story was a power forward at Virginia Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. If you, for anyone that gets into NCAA brackets, Virginia Commonwealth is always the team that's upsetting everybody here in the first round. I don't think he played college football. And so he's somebody that, yeah, he's got obviously a lot of size and some athleticism here. I really thought he could have been, I mean, maybe not the next Antonio Gates, but somebody who really progressed from one season to the next by this point, but still a good player and a good second tight end.
Yeah, I love Molly Cox. I mean, I've been wanting them to get him more involved, you know, since last year was really where he kind of took over as the tight end too. And he showed flashes. I think, you know, last year against the Vikings, he had like five receptions for 111 yards. And the next week he catches 50 yards and a touchdown. It's like, this guy's massive. He's 6'8". He moves like a linebacker and he's got the biggest hands in the NFL, literally. So,
wow.
You know, it's kind of perplexing a little bit. You know, he's not the smoothest route runner. He's definitely got some stuff he needs to clean up. But when you're that big, when you're that athletic, you're that hard to bring down. He's definitely a guy that I think they should be trying to get the ball to more.
Certainly on the defensive side of the ball, some injuries over there too. I mean, Darius Leonard did not practice yesterday with an ankle injury. If I had to guess, I'd say he plays, but
Yeah, he's been playing through that for the last couple weeks.
Got it. So let's put him on there. Quiddy Pay's got a hamstring injury and didn't play last week.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And if you look at some mock drafts here for the Dolphins, they obviously had the sixth pick and they had the 18th pick, and Quiddy Pay was by far the favorite for the Dolphins for that 18th pick. They took Jalen Phillips instead. Quiddy Pay went 22nd to the Colts. How has he been since being drafted by Indianapolis?
He's been okay. You know, he's easily, I'll say this, he's easily the best edge rusher they have, just in terms of the combination of, you know, size, speed, athleticism, upside. So like he's definitely deserving of the starting role that he had before he had the hamstring injury. He hasn't done a whole lot production wise. And I think part of that is him still kind of adjusting to the NFL. You know, he's gone against Dwayne Brown, and then he had to go against Andrew Whitworth and then Taylor Lewan. So it's been a little bit rough. You know, he's going against savvy veterans who understand how to counter his pass rush moves. So it's been a little bit slow, and the hamstring injury certainly isn't something that you want, especially from a guy that's supposed to not necessarily carry the pass rush, but be a very strong complementary piece. Cause you know, the pass rush goes through DeForest Buckner, at the three techs. So, you know, it's been fine. I've been, you know, I'm not necessarily calling him a bust or anything like that. You know, I think there's definitely upside. I think he definitely brings a lot of juice. It's just been, you know, he's had some tough matchups the last few weeks.
Certainly. And if he doesn't play, you know, where do you expect the Colts pass rush to really come from? Do you think that's begins and ends as well with DeForest Buckner?
Yeah. And that's the problem. They don't really have anybody that's really showing outside of Buckner, and he's good enough to take on double teams. You know, maybe not necessarily to the Aaron Donald level, but, you know, you're hoping that when Buckner sees a double team, some of the other guys can free up and get a good look. But, you know, Al-Kadeem Muhammad's the other starter on the edge, but if he's going to excel anywhere, it's going to be against the run. He doesn't really offer much juice in the pass rush game. Tyquan Lewis is good. You know, he's shown some flashes, but I don't necessarily know if he's consistent enough. And then the Colts have these two young edge rushers. They've spent second round picks on them. Ben Banigou in 2019, Kamoko Touré in 2018, both bendy, you know, both bursty, but they just don't get on the field. They only use them in they call it the NASCAR package. So they only use them, you know, maybe 20% of snaps every game. So if Quiddy Pay goes out, I expect to see a lot of Tyquan Lewis, but then you also probably see a little more Kamoko Touré and Ben Banigou. So the pass rushes, you know, they have one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL right now. I think depending on where you look, it's going to differ. But, you know, I think Pro Football Reference has them at like a 12% pressure percentage, which is just god awful. It's terrible. I think they only have 5 sacks on the season. So, you know, they have the advantage because they're playing against Jacoby Brissett. But if they don't get pressure on him, he'll have all day to pick apart the zone defense.
Well, it's kind of the your biggest weakness against the Dolphins' biggest weakness here heading into week four, because by far the biggest Dolphins' weakness is their offensive line after the first few weeks. So if there is a week for the Colts to get back on track, it's probably this one. So that'll be the fascinating matchup to watch, if the Colts can create that pressure up front against this Dolphins offensive line that's been struggling. But let's take a look too at your secondary. Rakiasin is iffy for this game. I don't know if you have a feeling on him one way or another.
Well, so he left in the fourth quarter against the Titans, didn't return, didn't practice Wednesday. I haven't gotten any word yet on, because they should be, it's about 1:30 Eastern time, so they should be practicing pretty soon. Haven't gotten any word yet. Yeah, he didn't practice Wednesday. So if he doesn't practice Thursday, you know, he's definitely going to be in doubt. If he logs a limited practice, he'll probably play on Friday. But if he can't play, I mean, that's, you know, he's an up and down guy himself. He's not necessarily the most consistent player, but he's definitely shown some flashes, had a great game against the Titans. So if he has to miss, they already put TJ Carey, who's his backup, on IR. They did that yesterday or 2 days ago, when I can't remember. So they're already, you know, a little thinner in the secondary. So if Yasin has to, you know, if he can't suit up, it's going to be another issue that they're dealing with.
So Xavier or Xavier Rhodes will be a one cornerback spot. Kenny Moore is one of the better slot cornerbacks in the league. At least that's what I've seen. So if there is no Rockiesen, obviously TJ Carey is not there. A little bit thin in the secondary. Do you expect Isaiah Rodgers to be that third cornerback?
Probably use him a little more. What they might do is, you know, I could see Kenny Moore playing on the outside a little bit because he has long arms. You know, he can play press if he needs to. He can keep up with the guys downfield. So then they might move Isaiah Rodgers to the slot. But they might also, they have a guy called, his name's Bo Pete Keys. They claimed him from waivers after roster cuts. He hasn't.
Yeah, came from the Chiefs,
Yeah, so he was a healthy scratch last week. But if both Yasin and Carey are not going to be there, then I would expect him. He's a guy that can play on the boundary, so he might get the start. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Yeah,
they've got some names there on the Colts. Mo Alley Cox, Bo Pete Keys, Al-Qaid Muhammad. I mean, gosh, so would a taking a look at this game, you know, really a must-win game for both teams as we head into week four here. What is your score prediction for the Dolphins versus Colts this weekend in Miami?
It's tough, man. This is – I hate doing this because I'm so bad at it. Like, I'm just awful at predicting the score. The reason I think the Colts I don't want to say
go for, go for it. You can do it. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, because that offensive line is so bad, and if Carson Wentz is limited even similarly to what he was last week, it's going to be brutal. I'll probably go with the Dolphins win. I think it'll be close, it'll be ugly. It's not going to be a fun game to watch, but the Colts really just haven't shown why we should believe they can get a win yet. So I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they came out with a win, but I think the Dolphins have played better than the Colts have. I think the Colts have the advantage with Jacoby Brissett being the quarterback, and that might be the reason why they do, you know, make me eat some crow here and they pull out a win. But they just haven't really shown why we should expect them to win a game. So with the injuries that they have, Quentin Nelson's going to be out. Braden Smith's probably going to be out. You know, Darius Leonard's playing through an ankle injury. So unless they really dominate with the run game and really control the clock in the offensive line, then I still think the Dolphins are probably going to come out with a win. But we'll go probably, like I said, it's going to be ugly. It's probably going to be like 20-18 or something like that. Something just nasty.
I had 2017 Dolphins here, and honestly, I would, with Brissett in there, with the offensive line struggling, if the Colts didn't have so many injuries, and given that I think their back is against the wall at 0-3 more than the Dolphins is at 1-2,
right?
I would probably have the Colts winning this game if not for all the injuries. But
the injuries are big, man. Dolphins. Yeah, that's the injuries are they're a major factor. I know, you know, I don't really want to use it as an excuse, but when you're all pro guard and you know, your starting right tackle and your quarterback, they're all hurt. You know, it makes it tough to overcome.
Right. I mean, you look at the 49ers last year. I mean, at a certain point, if you have seven guys out who are questionable and they're 70 or 10 best players, I mean,
it takes a toll.
You can't prepare for that. I mean, So we'll see. And that's going to be a big part of the story here leading up to the game. How many of these Colts players between Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith, Jack Doyle, Darius Leonard, Kwity Paye, Rockiesen are actually going to suit up here for the Colts? Because other than Tua, the Dolphins are in really good shape health-wise. So that's going to do it here for our breakdown here with Kevin Hickey from the USA Today and the Colts Wire. Kevin, what else do you have going on? Where else can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at KevinHickey11, the Colts Wire at the Colts Wire. And then I also do some fantasy football stuff for the Fantasy Football Gurus. So you can follow them at TFF Gurus on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. I never say good luck to our opponents, but I hope you enjoy the game.
I appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for our breakdown of the Colts versus Dolphins here with Kevin Hickey from the USA Today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the FinFanatic.com website and the FanSided Network. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.